Welcome to the Floor Academy podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Hedin, owner of Illustrious Hardwoods in Mesa, Arizona. Joining me this week is Kathy Case, who has a 100-year family legacy history within the commercial construction space, and she has been many, many things, from installer, estimator, project manager, sales, and most recently getting into executive management with her company Quantify North America that specializes in commercial company takeoffs. Look, if you don't know Kathy, go find her at some event. She's at pretty much all of them and get to know her. She is genuine, caring, kind, inspirational, just absolutely, she's amazing. It's been awesome to get to know her, be able to have conversations with her. She's brilliant, and she's going to leave some kind of impact on you and leave you for the better, even if it's a short 5-minute conversation, guaranteed. So what we're going to talk about today is mindset coaching and conferences. And a lot of people, I think, will pick up the book, we'll read it. Maybe we do go to a conference over the weekend. You come back, you're super gung-ho, and you're like, yeah, I'm going to conquer the world. And then nothing happens in the next week, maybe 2 weeks, maybe you keep at it for a month. It's kind of like that New Year's resolution where you say you're going to go join the gym and you go for January 1st and there's everybody's in the gym and it's super packed. And by, January 20th, there's not so many people. And by February 14th, there's like nobody. So you have to stick with it and you have to consistently do it. And there's a lot of things behind it about, getting comfortable being uncomfortable, really looking in the mirror and admitting that you're your own biggest problem, you're your own worst enemy, and conquering that and saying, you know what, it's not all these external circumstances that I'm dealing with, it's me. And I have to own that I have control. And even though there are external things, I need to do what I can do to put things in place to make the best out of every situation. So it's a mindset, it's an outlook, there's all kinds of things going on. But we're going to dig into this and find out why she's been doing the coaching and conferences she's been getting, what it's done for her, where it's going, why she continues with it, and how it's really impacted her life, and why she wishes she would have started sooner than just 3 years ago. But before we get there, Kathy, who are you? What do you do? Why do you do it?
Well, I think you already covered that. Thank you so much for that very kind introduction. My name is Kathy Case. I grew up in the Northeast in a union environment, and having been third generation in the industry, I was around it from a very young age. I was on my first job site at 6 years old and absolutely love the industry. I have a passion for leaving the industry in a better place than where I found it. I was blessed in 1985 when my dad passed away that several people stepped up for me and mentored me at a time when people didn't want to share information because they felt that if they knew and you didn't, it was job security. Mm-hmm. So I'm all about giving back to this industry in any way, in every way that I can.
Which is huge. I definitely see the industry moving that way. There's this trend to like, hey, let's just put it out there. Let's let people succeed. Maybe it's the people I'm hanging out with, because I know there's still salty people that have those, closed mindsets of, or scarcity mindsets even of, oh, well, if I tell somebody, then they're just going to run off and start their own thing and they're going to steal all my work. Well, that's probably not going to happen. So I love what I'm seeing. At least I feel more people are opening up and saying, you know what, look, here's the keys to the kingdom. Do what you can with it and run with it. And hopefully you do better than I do.
Ultimately, it's better to be working with good competition than bad competition. So it really makes sense to share that information so everybody's on the same plane. Bad competition always hurts the industry no matter what.
Agreed. I say it all the time, right? There's the adage of, hey, what if we train them and they leave, but what if we don't train them and they stay? If I can train somebody and I can make them a better person, not only within the industry aspect of it, but at investing in them personally and trying to improve them, leaving them better than they came to me, then I want to work against that person because they're going to go out, they're going to put their heart and soul into it, as opposed to somebody that has half the information. And really, that's what I see is a lot of our problems. It's like, well, I can only teach you so much because I'm afraid you're going to go do it. Well, they go do it because you're not respecting them, you're not investing in them, you're not paying attention to them, you're not paying them well. And now you wonder why we have, you know, all of these low bidding hacks out there. Well, because the last generation, two or three, created this problem of not investing into people and only investing in themselves, and they didn't even do that very well. So, but I think that's probably a whole nother episode.
I was actually taught at a young age that if you're not replaceable, you're not promotable. So it's been my attitude long before 1985. Well, maybe not long. But before 1985, to train people, because this way I could step up to the next level as well.
I was taught at a, man, how old was I? I was probably like 20, and I was working, in very, very low level management at a big package company that's Brown. And I was taught, right? If you can't do your boss's job, then there's nowhere for you to go, right? Like, you have to learn the person's job above you, because if for some reason they can't make it, somebody has to be able to step up. So you better know how to do what they do. And I've always kind of looked at it that way, is like, what's the next thing above me? What do I need to be able to do so that I can always find a way to be useful within a company? Because if I can only do what you train me to do, there's nowhere for me to go. I'm just a stick in the mud. So I agree.
Exactly.
So how does, I have a feeling you've always just been the super positive person you are. Like, you don't just instantly change overnight and have this optimistic view on life and be joyful and whatnot. But what was the draw to getting involved with mindset coaching and you know, Tony Robbins programs in 2020 with a virtual event, as opposed to anything you'd done up to that point?
Well, I'm going to surprise you, and this will probably help others that are dealing with the same problem, but I was not happy in 2020. I was actually miserable and had thoughts that if I wasn't around, my girls would be okay because they had their dad. And 2 weeks after COVID, he was diagnosed with terminal cancer and died 6 weeks later. And I knew that I had to change my mindset. I didn't know how I was going to do it. I knew that I had to get there, though. I was 34 when both of my parents had passed away, and my girls were 27 and 31 when their dad passed. And 2 weeks after he was buried, Tony came out with his first virtual event. I didn't have to fly anywhere. I didn't have to pay for anything. I had wanted to do work with Tony since the 90s, but I just didn't have the time. I worked a lot of hours, and it was hard to set the time aside. But how can you not set time aside when COVID had things pretty quiet, and it was free, and I didn't have to go anywhere? And that's how I got started, was doing that first free challenge. A month later, I did his Unleash the Power Within. And after that, I was hooked. I've done at least three events a year. This next year will be a little more than three. Absolutely, it's made such a difference. It's taught me how to, first and foremost, realize that life happens for you, not to you. And when you run into those challenges, you look at the opportunity to grow. You look at the opportunity to, whether it's your mental muscle or learning a new skill, you push through it and get to the other side. One of the things that you do at Unleash the Power Within when you attend it live is you actually walk on 1,200 degree coals. And that has been a huge visual for me when I get into a challenge. You just stay focused on the other side. You don't let the coals under your feet distract you. You get to the other side and you don't get burnt. But if you hesitate for half a second, you will get burnt. I've done it twice. The first time I hesitated. The second time I did not.
Wow.
I didn't realize I was on the other side. So when I run into a challenge, I focus on my end game. I don't think about what's distracting me. Mm-hmm. I'm focusing on what my purpose is, what my why is. When you know what your why is, why you're doing what you're doing, and it's a big enough why, you don't let anything stop you.
So with the, I mean, this is all, look, you can go back and you can listen to this. I've got more, I already have like the 1 minute trailer put together in like, you know, 10 minutes here because the bites just keep coming out, folks. Just go back and rewind. But it's all really powerful stuff. And it's all, knowing your why is super important. And so what did it take for you to define a why? And is that why you were mentally struggling, you think, with, the girls have their dad, like, I'm not worried about it, and it's fine. And so you had to redefine a why, but now even with starting Quantify was Takeoff previously, you had to define a why for that, I'm assuming, and that's kept you guided where you're going. But then now you're saying, hey, I have these goals, like, I have to stay focused on the prize on the other side. And even with that, there's probably things being broken down to help keep you focused, as opposed to, I think a lot of times we're like, I want to be a $1 million company. Well, great. How do you get there? Well, I'm going to do $1 million revenue. Well, okay. How? Like, I can't get where I'm going without some sort of a roadmap. And it sounds like a lot of this has been you figuring out, what does it look like to actually create the roadmap and have the purpose? And then from the purpose, I can derive the steps that continue to allow that purpose to exist.
In the first two programs that I did with him, they were very powerful and they really helped me define that why. You know, first and foremost, it's about being available for my daughters, to be there to support them as they grow up and not have them have to grow up like I did without my parents. Mm-hmm. But as far as the business is concerned, I absolutely love estimating. I switched my focus in 2009 from sales and project management to estimating to have a bigger impact on a given company. In 2019, when I decided to start the estimating service, it was an opportunity to positively impact a greater part of the industry, to be able to help more businesses get through the pain point of what estimating represents. Mm-hmm. Having been a part of the Construction Specifications Institute while I was still in sales, I learned that architects and designers weren't given the proper amount of time to do a good job on writing the specifications. The owner basically said, get it on the street or I'll find someone else who does. And that's when I knew that having the strength in the technical side of flooring, as well as the expertise in reading blueprints, I could help architects and flooring companies the same. So now I'm at a point where we're helping over 70 contractors throughout North America, and it's been the greatest experience. You know, I'll turn 62 in less than, actually it's a month from today, and people keep saying, why did you start a business so late? But it's something I absolutely love doing. Mm-hmm. And I hope to be involved in it for a very long time.
I mean, they can ask that question, but what, we can go look at Colonel Sanders. He's got to be about the same age when he started KFC, running around doing that stuff. Maybe a little bit younger, but not much, if I remember correctly. Yeah. It's not like... Who cares when you start, right? Like, if you're into it, we're made to work as human beings. Like, we have to have a purpose and a why. And so defining that, I think, is super clear. And you had one, okay, I want to live for my girls. I want to give them something I didn't have, which is great and respectful. And then you looked at the industry that you've been a part of forever and you said, this isn't quite right. Like, I want to make it easier for people. And so I want to find a way to allow that to happen and make them more successful with the knowledge that I've been able to gain from all of my experiences. And I don't know that a lot of companies actually will look at this. They're just, I'm an installer. I sell, you know, I own a retail shop. I just sell floors. But why? Why? Like, even if it's the purpose of you started the company just to be able to support yourself. So, like, I know your one grandson plays a very large, not that the other grandkids aren't important, but one of them lives with you. And so he's around you all the time and very important in your life. You get to interact with him a lot. And so even if the company was only started to be able to facilitate that relationship on a deeper level, you have to have a reason to do it. And I don't know that there's enough business owners actually looking at why they do something other than, oh, this is what I know how to do, so I'm just going to go do it and sell it. What's the real purpose? And I think that's really huge on why you've been successful, is because you can wake up every morning saying, I'm doing these things today to allow this to happen, because this is what I ultimately want in life, is I'm going to buy the time to spend with my grandson, with my daughters, to know that I'm making an impact on my industry. And that's all so important to being motivated every day. I don't know how many people I see complain about, oh, I just do it because I know how, and like, I want a better life for my kids. Why can't your kids have a great life doing a trade? Like, I think that's a horrible attitude. Oh, it's bad for them. It'll break their bodies down. If they're not smart about it, sure, I agree. If they do it the way you're doing it, I agree. But it doesn't have to be that way.
Even the mindset, as you mentioned, though, when people are selling flooring because that's what they know, mm-hmm. what they don't realize is they're selling an experience. If they make it an experience for their customer, it's going to be a lot more enjoyable for them to do. And the customers are going to make a connection with them that will last a lifetime and not just a single sale.
Totally agree. If you're going into a home as a contractor and you're bidding it and you're not asking Mrs. Jones as she's there, and it's probably Mrs. Jones, it's most likely not a guy. Like, let's play the odds here. It's very rare. What her problem is. What's her actual complaint, right? Why does she hate her shower? Why does she hate her floor? Why does she want an accent wall? Whatever it is you're doing for her, right? The cabinet, changing out countertops. Whatever. There's some problem, right? She's embarrassed by the way her house looks. The dog is pissing all over everything and ruining it. The kids have scratched something. Like, there's some kind of lifestyle thing, most likely, that she's not happy with. So if you can deliver, like Kathy said, right, you're going to deliver an experience. So if you can deliver this experience to her and find out what her actual problem is and address it in a way that she understands that you're solving that problem for her, you're probably the contractor to do the project, as opposed to anybody else walking in that says, it's like this big, here's some numbers, it's $5,000. What does that do for her? It's nothing. And so I think knowing that you have to solve an experience, knowing that you need to have a why so that you're happy, but then understanding other people's whys, you have to be able to go beyond yourself and help other people see this. But I think that's probably part of this coaching too, is it's not just about you. It's who you're surrounding yourself with and who you're having an impact on.
Absolutely. It's, you know, when you go through the coaching that I've gone through, you learn how to understand what's not being said and how to read the people and really dive deep into what they're looking for. And that's ultimately what you need to do. You need to build a rapport with that customer, or you should build a rapport with that customer, so that they're feeling important enough and that they're not just another sale. Just another notch on your belt mm-hmm. for getting another sale.
What does that look like, though? Like, is a lot of it coming out of you learning about you and feeling better about who you are, that you can then build this rapport with other people and invest in them and learn what they're not saying because you have a better understanding of emotions and feelings and motivations? Or is it that it was always there, you just weren't in tune with it because you weren't in tune? I don't, what is it? What makes this work?
So there's a little bit of both. I mean, some of it, I was doing it without realizing the impact. And now, because I understand structure, I do it better than I did before. And other parts is learning new techniques.
Okay. And so it's, you've been going, you've been getting the coaching, and so the mindset is there, and so you're having to continually work on you, which gives you the systems and processes to understand, but then, and you can apply it other places. So how has that been important in, like, having this structure that you can go to daily, knowing I have to be able to do X, Y, and Z to get where I need to be?
It's important to surround yourself with people that are moving in the same direction as you. When you hang around people who are negative or have poor attitudes or poor mindset, it tends to drain your energy. So by having a community, and you know, the group that I'm in, it is a community where you can go to people, and if you're struggling with a situation or you're just losing energy, they'll get you pumped right back up again. Mm-hmm.
Was that one of the problems prior to 2020 that was leading to a lot of it? Were the people you had surrounded yourself with being like Debbie Downers, and so you just weren't as motivated, and now you found people that excited and about living life and where they're going and what they're trying to accomplish, that again, I mean, I've experienced the same thing in just coming into this industry in a few short years, and like the people that I found and surrounded myself with, they have this go-getter attitude and they're much more enthusiastic about life, that it's rubbed off on me, as opposed to being the salty contractor in the back complaining about how he can't get paid enough.
What you don't realize is when you're in a negative mindset or a negative attitude, you don't see all the options. You don't see opportunities. So when you're making a decision, you're typically not going to make a good decision when you're in a negative mindset. You're not going to see, you know, things that appear before you. And it's something, sometimes it could be simple and sometimes it could be really big. So having a positive mindset really opens your mind to possibilities. Okay. But as far as going back before 2020, I lived with a negative mindset. The person in my home was among the most negative people I've ever met. And so getting away from that probably was a huge change in and of itself.
Okay. Yeah, you got to be really careful in who you choose to be around all the time, and sometimes you don't know enough until you know enough.
Exactly.
Well, people change, right? You can be one way, and then all of a sudden, like, you settle into a relationship, and all the walls are dropped, right? Like, you put on your best show to win somebody over, and then the real you comes out when you feel you can drop the walls down, and then we're like, wait, like, I got duped, and that's not... It happens.
Mm-hmm. It does. I'm surrounded by really great people at this point. So my team is amazing. Absolutely love my team. We actually have regular love fests. My team actually gets training from Tony Robbins coaches as well. We do training 6 times a year on business issues or items. And the thing is, it's training for everybody from the greenest person all the way up through executive management. I had signed up for 6 sessions last year. And on the 6th session, I asked the team if they wanted to continue. I got a resounding yes. And one of my executive managers took me aside in a private conversation and said to me that these people feel heard and special because I'm investing in them. I'm not teaching them estimating. The skills that are being taught in these sessions apply to personal life as well. Mm-hmm. And so it's giving them an opportunity, whether they stay with me or not, it's going to improve their lives regardless of where they choose to be long term.
Well, I think just in a grand scheme of things, again, the general audience for this is going to be like a contractor that does actual installations, and you're doing more of I believe most of your people are remote, but it's more like home-based, office-based. It's kind of different. And so from that perspective, I think it's a little more corporate-y, and corporate companies tend to invest in their people more than what a contractor would. But that being said, why don't we take this lesson away from this, and why aren't we investing in our installers and apprentices and office staff and doing this? Because look, these people feel valued, and if they do go somewhere, they're going to have great coaching to be able to put on their resume. They're going to interview better. It's going to make you look great, but most likely they're not going to go anywhere because they feel so valued and appreciated that it's not just about money all the time, right? A company can come to you and offer you $50,000 more a year, but if you hear that the management over there sucks and it's just a grind and long out, like, why am I going to take an extra $50K to go be just absolutely abused, right? I can stay here and be happy and really love what I do. So I love that you're investing in people and making them better, and then they're coming back and like, yeah, hey, let's keep doing this. We love it. But you're probably seeing results that go beyond the dollar amount you're putting into it as well, where you're like, well, this is a no-brainer. Like, not only do they love it, but I'm getting, you know, X and X return on it, so it would be foolish of me not to continue.
Turnover alone makes it valuable. We have not had anybody leave the company in 4 years.
Wow.
We've one person that it didn't work out, but everybody else, once they come, they stay. And the thing is, as you mentioned, when you're talking about installers, even if they did something like bringing them to coverings, where mm-hmm. they do get education and they do get an opportunity to go and be around other like-minded people, other installers, talking about their challenges and understanding how someone else solved them, that's still an opportunity for education. Even, and there are times when coverings will have topics that are more business management, not just installation and setting materials and
yes.
tile situations. So there's still opportunity there. And quite honestly, when it comes to coverings, it's not that expensive. It's free to get in. You get an Airbnb and put a bunch of people in the house or the apartment, and it's not expensive.
I agree. It's look, going to a lot of these industry events, I get it. Okay. Again, something that's been harped on, talked about in these episodes tons of times, you're going to miss work. Okay. You're out a week's worth of work. Okay. I got it. I know that's expensive. And then you're going to invest in flying, driving, putting people up, whatever it is. But if you know that's going to be a $10,000 expense or a $20,000 expense, just build it into your overhead, right? So now if it's 10 grand and it's 50 projects, it's only $200 more a project. If your average project is 5 grand and it goes to 5,200, big deal. Like, no one's going to notice that or bat an eye, right? Like, we're talking such a large number that it's not going to matter. You're going to have happier people. You're going to have smarter people. You're going to have more motivated people. Who knows who they meet? I know I actually just had somebody call, and I was talking to them yesterday. They put an ad up on Indeed, and they recently joined one of the mastermind groups that I do. And an employee, somebody responded to that Indeed ad, and it's an employee from another person that's in a mastermind group with me. So it's a no-brainer for this person to hire that person. Like, they already know the caliber of person that it is and where they're coming from, that they were just like, look, whenever you're ready, you let me know, you got a job here. End of story. So you have to go meet these people, because you don't know what you're going to be able to do with. Well, I got somebody that wants to leave and relocate. Well, hey, I know Sam over on the East Coast, man. Like, why don't you call them and you can go, like, we'll get you set up, right? If you can help somebody get a job when they're willing to leave, and you're not just like, ah, sorry, well, you know, off you go, I don't care about you. Huge difference in what your company looks like. So I love that, you know, I just being able to invest in people and take them somewhere that they can learn something and see more than what it is your company has to offer, or that there's it's a bigger world than that, just showing up to the shop and then hopping in a truck and driving to this bathroom or random house and putting a floor in or whatever it is, that there's this bigger world of people that are just as passionate as you. And that's going to rub off on people for sure.
I actually had somebody that worked for me when I was working for another company. I was running their estimating department. This was about 6 years ago, and he was still pretty immature, and I had to let him go. Mm-hmm. But over the years, I've helped him get other jobs, and ironically, now we're talking about partnering to provide additional services.
Okay.
So it came full circle. You just never know. I mean, people are at different points in their lives, mm-hmm. and you have to appreciate that and recognize that they can change, they can mature, they can grow, and know where they are in the moment for their value.
Well, I think that's great advice, right? Let's look at where somebody's at and analyze what they're doing and say, okay, look, yeah, I have an 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid that's not showing up consistently, okay? They're immature, okay? Not everybody is super responsible and cares about what they're doing, especially if you're somebody that's paying cash under the table or, you know, cash at the end of the day. And they're constantly coming to you and they're like, hey, can I get, you know, you're at the gas station in the morning, like, all right, can I get some of my money now so that I can get breakfast and some cigarettes? And like, why are you allowing that behavior to continue, right? You're the one in control. You don't have to support their habits. They're an adult. They've chosen the decisions they've chosen. And so if that's the caliber of people you're hiring, and then you wonder why everyone sucks, well, stop hiring those people that have those problems, right? Learn to ask questions that'll give you that, but also understand where they're at. And if they can stay in contact with you somehow, like this person did with Kathy, and you can see them grow and mature and become more responsible, now she's having this discussion where, okay, I can partner with you and we can both be successful because you've actually made the changes and demonstrated the knowledge to be able to, that I can have this conversation with you and feel that you're going to deliver on it. And I think that's very, very important. I don't know a lot of times that we just write people off and we're like, no, I'm done with you. But where were they at, right? Like, where were they at and where were you at? And did you really give it your best effort? And were they giving it their best effort, or at least for what they had to offer? I don't know that we take a step back and get that 5,000, 10,000 foot view on things a lot of times. We're just so in the moment and attached to it that we're like, nope, done, go.
It can be really frustrating in the moment, for sure. Mm-hmm. But it's also frustrating when you see the person has the potential and they're not actually reaching their potential. So to yes. be able to stay in touch with them and see them growing into that potential is an amazing opportunity. And in today's day, it's so hard to find people to begin with. So if you know there's somebody like that, it's better to stay in contact with him and see where the possibilities may go.
Good advice. Look, there's lots of people have lots of potential they're wasting. You got to let them find it. You can't make them find it. That's one of the hardest lessons I've learned, is I've wanted a lot of things for a lot of people, but they don't want it themselves. And if they don't mm-hmm. want it, it's just not going to happen. I'm going to interrupt this for one quick second with a quick word from Johns Manville. If you're looking for the perfect waterproofing solution for your tile installations, look no further than Johns Manville Go Board. It's time to say goodbye to worries of moisture damage and hello to durable, easy-to-install tile backer board. Go Board is engineered to withstand tough environments, providing excellent waterproofing protection. Whether it's your bathroom, kitchen, or any other wet area, Go Board has got you covered. Don't compromise on quality. Choose JM Go Board for the ultimate waterproofing peace of mind. Visit your local distributor and ask for Go Board. I also want to take a second here. I already kind of talked about it. I want to plug the Business Therapy Mastermind groups. Look, I've done the hard work. I've gone and met the folks. I've vetted them. You don't have to worry about who you're networking with. These are all people that are committed to moving their business forward. and putting in the work and actually making it happen, as opposed to, I'm not going to lie, you can put the group together yourself. You can go take you and four of your friends and you can put together your own mastermind group and you can try and host it and you'll see who shows up, and maybe they do, maybe they don't, but there's no skin in the game for anybody other than a commitment. So I'm making people put skin in the game. I've vetted the people. I've put them in. We're talking about where they're at personally, emotionally, in their business, in their personal lives. We're setting goals. We're actively working towards them. And I'm there facilitating all of these groups to keep it a controlled environment where business is actually getting taken care of and the tangents are kept to a minimum. And so you're not constantly wandering off wherever you want to go. If you're interested, go to flooracademypod.com/mastermind. Go ahead and schedule an appointment, and I would love to talk to you about them. All right, Kathy. Continuing down this vein, right? Like, we're investing in people, we're investing in ourselves, we're looking for not only changes in ourselves, but changes in them. What are the other benefits that you've experienced from getting into this world of constantly staying on top of, you know, really looking in the mirror and just saying, like, am I the best me that I can put forth today?
I'll tell you, it amazed me when I found out that Tony Robbins has a coach. I have no idea who could be that great to be coaching him. But it really stands to the point that you're never perfect. You're never done learning. Mm-hmm. So it's important to just keep it going.
And so how has that looked for you? Again, I think a lot of times people end up that they go to this thing and they stay engaged for a minute, or then it gets difficult and it's hard. Like, I'll admit to it, right? Everyone kind of knows, or if they're following along, knows that I've been on like this weight loss thing. And I stalled out for a long time, but I wasn't putting in the work. I wasn't understanding what was happening with my body, and I wasn't getting any results, but I kept on sticking with it and trying to figure it out because I knew where I wanted to get that I would feel good about. But I think a lot of people, like, the first second of adversity, they're just like, nope, throw up their arms and they'll walk away. So what were you given tools through first two programs to really realize that the adversity wasn't as bad as it seemed? Or did you just not care about the adversity? Like, how did that all kind of work for you to stay committed and on this path?
It's changing the mindset on what you refer to as adversity. I grew up in a competitive family to begin with. Mm-hmm. So it, you know, to me, it's getting past the challenge, not looking at it as a problem. I'm not one that stays stuck in the problem. When there's a situation, I'm looking for the solution. And one of the things that I really learned and really got driven home was, don't wait to figure out the perfect solution. Take action. And if you need to adjust it, then you adjust it as you go. But sitting there and trying to overanalyze will lose time on getting to the solution.
Yeah. That's big. There's, I don't know which CEO it was, one of the big ones, Musk or Bezos or somebody, was asked, like, how do you know, like, when to pull the trigger on a decision for your company? And they were saying, when I have 70% of the information. If it's less than that, I can't do it. And if I wait for more than that, I've waited too long and missed my opportunity. And that's exactly what you're saying, is like, you have to decide something, right or wrong. And you can always pivot from there to course correct and make it work as new information comes in. But if you're just sitting there stalling out and trying to get all the information to be able to make the most competent decision possible, it's too late and it doesn't matter and you've missed the opportunity. And so, you know, let's say you wanted to buy a stock and you're like, well, I don't know. You could have bought it at 50 and the next day it was up to 100, but you waited and you waited and you waited. Now it's 200 and the highest it's ever going to get is 205. Is it worth the investment? Probably not. But had you pulled the trigger at 50 and it went down to 40 and eventually, you know, you held onto it for a year and it hit, you know, 52. Oh, well. But What'd you miss out on by not making that decision quickly with the information you had? And so you've been able to put that into practice. Has that changed how you have handled your business or decisions with employees over the past couple of years?
Not just employees, but partners. You know, mm-hmm. when COVID hit, I have two partners who were involved in other businesses, several other businesses, and they just disappeared. And this was my only business. And so I kind of struggled with their response to the situation. Fortunately, unfortunately, I had the situation with my girl's dad, mm-hmm. which distracted me for a couple of months. But once it was time to get back into rebuilding the business, I still was challenged. And I employed what a priest taught me in 2002, that it was easier to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission. And I just started taking action without talking to them first. And mm-hmm. it worked to the point that after we got a couple months into the growth based on what I was doing, I said, so what do you want to do next? And they all turned to me like, I don't know. What are we going to do? So.
Oh, someone's steering the ship finally. Like, it doesn't have to be me, which is funny. A lot of times, somebody just needs to step up and be the leader and start making decisions because everyone else is too hesitant. So I think that's great advice too. Like, you wonder why your crews struggle when you're not there, because you've always done everything for them. What if you started showing up and said, hey, I'm just here. You tell me what you need me to do, right? Force somebody to step up and be the leader. Who are you going to force to be the next lead installer and make them go up to the door and introduce themselves and you, and that you're there to start the install, and have them tell you what they need and bring it? Like, stop being the leader all the time and force your crews to become the leaders by stepping back and letting them actually try it out. Let them
lead the way. Can I reframe
that for a second? Sure. Yeah.
Because they're managing, they're not leading. Leaders create leaders. And the thing is that you have to allow them the grace to make mistakes, mm-hmm. guide them through them. If they make a mistake and you jump all over them, they're not going to be willing to take another chance.
Great advice. And it's true, because it's a lot of times I think it goes back to this old school mentality of these. You still think of the guy that's going to yell at you and throw a trowel at you or whatever for making a mistake because you don't have the information. Like, that's still a lot of times what's happening out there. And then why do I want to try if that's the reaction I'm going to get? Like, I'm going to put in the least amount of effort possible to make sure that I don't get yelled at. And that was a lot of my experience when I was working for the package company. Was there were some immature, you know, middle management people that didn't have enough experience yet. And that's exactly what I got. Was I wasn't being told how to be successful. It was just like, you're an idiot, you don't know what you're doing, and shut up and go do this and just get it taken care of. And how do I prevent this from happening? And then how do I make it so that I can work with these people? That, like, the resources weren't in place for anyone to be successful. And it sucks, right? So if you want, Kathy's right, if you want these employees to be successful, you have to give them the option to screw up. They have to be able to install the tile wrong. They're going to have to pull it the next day. You're going to have to deal with ripping something out and it being really obnoxious and time consuming. But honestly, them learning that lesson is way more valuable than you coming along and just making sure it never happens. Because if you can't fix it, then you can't really actually install, in my opinion, because you got to be able to fix stuff. That's how you install, because you make a lot of mistakes.
I just came out of Tony Robbins' Business Mastery Program, where he had the speakers are phenomenal, but one of the speakers goes through accounting in 6 hours, and you really get a clear understanding of it. What he calls it is a dumb tax. It's the cost of making mistakes, mm-hmm. and that's part of the cost of business.
Yeah. And it's like, this is why it, look, employees are expensive, but this is part of it. Like, this is an investment in them. And so hopefully that mistake happens once, maybe twice, depending on what it is. And it never happens again, but it costs you money and time. And then that's hopefully the end of it. Right. And they learn a big enough lesson that they say, all right, I won't do that again. And everyone moves on. And now you can look at it as a cost of doing business, or you can look at it as an investment in that person. There's some story that I've heard where, you know, a guy made a multi six figure mistake, or, you know, $1 million mistake or something like that. And he was like, oh shoot, I'm going to get fired. And they were like, no, you're staying. Like, that's a $1 million lesson. I know you're never going to do that again. You're not going anywhere. Right? Like, sure, you can kick them to the curb, but who are you going to bring up then? And then you have to retrain them to go through all of this stuff. And maybe that person makes a, you know, seven or eight figure mistake. That's no good. That's even worse. So yeah, let's take the people and continue to invest in them and lift them up and grow them, as opposed to, you screwed up. Like, you got to go, get out of here. It doesn't make sense to me. But I think that's part of what the coaching is teaching you, right? Is like, you have to go and find what to look for in people and how to motivate them. Your grandson is probably a great example of this. There was, you were at the pool with him, right? Or one of them? And like, he didn't want to jump in?
Yeah, that was actually my nephew.
Okay.
It was my nephew. But yeah, he is 5 years old, and he was afraid of jumping in the pool. He had his sister, cousins, everybody walk up to him offering a hand to jump in with him. I got in the pool and offered to catch him in the pool. And within 2 hours, he was swimming in the pool without a life jacket and jumping in without a problem.
Mm-hmm. And
up until that
time, I was in the pool. I'm sorry, go again.
Up until that point, he was always wearing a life jacket around and in the pool.
Okay. And it's little things. It's how it's offered. It's who's offering it. It's how it's offered. Right. And I think a lot of that is learning personality types and learning how to talk to people and read them. And then you can start really making an impact instead of, hey, come on, it's easy. Just do it. Just jump. Let's go. Like, you were willing to work through all of the little pain points along the way with him and get him to slowly commit more and more and feel more comfortable. And again, I get it, folks. We're not necessarily trainers, okay? But we started a company. You want an employee. You better learn how to become a leader and learn how to train somebody. And if you can't train somebody, then you better go hire an experienced person that can train to go train the rest of your people, because you're not going to have much of a company with you. It only goes so far. And I know that not everyone wants the big company. I get it. And so you don't have to take all of this advice, but you have to be able to adequately and competently encourage people along. And I'll admit, I'm not the best at it. Like, I'd have tons of struggles with coaching people and training them. And I'm easily frustrated. My patience is almost non-existent. So I know, like, if I want to go back and really work on the flooring company, I'm going to have to find somebody that's really good at training. And maybe that means in the state of Arizona, like, finding a young teacher doesn't want to be a teacher anymore because the system here is so abysmal, but go find them, build them up, turn them into an installer, and then turn them loose on a younger generation, because they're probably passionate about teaching people if they wanted to go be a teacher to begin with. So what better fit? So you got to get creative with stuff and really figure out how we can do this once we start investing in ourselves. And I think that's where I want to take this next, is you've spent 3 years just pouring into yourself and it's now you're pouring into other people and investing in them, Kathy, but it's not cheap, but you keep shelling out money left and right because you're obviously, you wouldn't do it if there wasn't a return. So you have to be getting more than the value of the money that you've put into this so far and feel really, really good about it.
Absolutely. And the thing is, you know, there are programs that I repeat. When you're in a different place, you hear it differently. One of the first mentors I had was the original salesman from Lady Crete, Harry Swanson. Love the man. I am grateful for every second that I spent with him. He would repeat the same stories over and over again, to the point that if I had a salesman for another company in my office and said that Harry was coming, they would fly out of there because they didn't want to hear the same story again. But the thing is that you hear it differently each time it's told. It's told a little differently each time as well. Mm-hmm. But each point, you're in a different point in your mindset and you hear more. And one of the greatest things about education is that repetition is the key to mastery. And so by repeating the programs, you're learning new things because you're hearing it differently. Sometimes they're not exactly the same. Like this past business mastery, totally thrilled that they had an AI expert to talk to us for a couple of hours. It's an area where I'm certainly starting to focus some of my attention mm-hmm. in taking our business to the next level. So there's always something new that you can get out of it. And it's not just the information that's shared, but there's breakout sessions where you're meeting with the other people that are attending and talking about the challenges. And you're getting somebody's point of view that's not from the industry. They're not going to say, oh, I've tried this. I've done this for 50 years, or I've tried that. That didn't work. Mm-hmm. They're going to see it with fresh eyes and give you a clear opinion from a business perspective.
So this, now I lost my train of thought. The being able to see it from like a new, you're in a different place, and so you should be able to see a story from a different point of view and get a different takeaway. Do you think that if you're not getting different takeaways, then you're the problem? And you need to start looking at where you're at and why you haven't changed and why you can't see like something new within stories that you're being told or reading over and over again?
I guess I'd have to wait for that to happen to know if that's the approach I would take, because I haven't stopped learning. There's always something new at these events that I'm picking up. And again, partly because of the interaction with the people mm-hmm. in the exercise that we go through. I mean, there are anywhere from 6 to 12 exercises per day where you're interacting with someone else, talking about a challenge, and whether you're trying to find a solution or you found a solution and this is how you did it, being able to understand the process that happened.
Well, I'm saying, like, so your interactions with Harry Swanson, right? Like, you kept hearing the same story over and over and over again for years and years, and you're like, I'm always getting a different takeaway. But some of your salespeople would be like, nope, I'm out. Like, and they would skedaddle, right? I don't want to hear this. Like, I've already heard it. I got all I can from it. Do you think those people were just consistently in the same place and not looking to get more out of something, whereas you have a zest for life where you're always looking for that new thing, right? What can I get out of it this time? Like, you just have a different mindset about it as opposed to some other people. And so I'm wondering, like, if folks aren't getting something new out of being able to hear the same story again, do you think it's a personal problem and they need to, again, like I said, kind of at the beginning, you got to look yourself in the mirror and realize, like, you're probably, not even probably, you are your biggest problem. Like, you're in your own way.
That is the greatest challenge in most businesses, is the owner and their mindset to begin with. I agree that in most of those cases, it's definitely they are the problem. Mm-hmm. The thing is that their reason for listening wasn't there. They didn't want to learn from what he was talking about. So all they heard were the words and not really exploring the situation or the meaning or how to deal with it or how to avoid it. And at that time, this was 1985, my dad had just passed, left me running a company. I started running my first job in May and was running the company in September. And so I was absorbing anything and everything. And sometimes my mind wasn't 100% there because I'm thinking about the next thing as well. Mm-hmm. So that's probably a big part of why I really liked hearing the stories over and over again. But as I developed, I also had more questions about the story.
Which is, I think that's the way it needs to go. Look, if you're out there and you're saying, I've been doing it, if you're one of these, I've been doing it 20 years, guys, and I'm just going to stick with what I know. The amount of change that I've been able to experience doing this show for 4 years, and the amount of technology that I've seen come into the across the industry, no matter whether I'm looking at carpet, LVP, hardwood, tile, just from products available on, you know, from sundries to actual products being installed, whatever. There's been a ton of change to keep up with, from terms used and chemicals being used and how things interact with each other and how instructions have flip-flopped saying one thing to another. You can't do it with stuff the same way for 20 years because it changes. It doesn't work. So I don't get how, like, if you're not open to looking at things from a new perspective and learning, like, that's what I don't get. Is I just, why would you want to stay stuck and be that closed-minded about a situation and not move forward, right? Not learn something new. It strikes me as very odd. And I don't think anyone listening to this show is of that mindset, especially if you've made it, I don't know, where are we, like 56, 57 minutes into this episode at this point? Like, I don't think you're going to listen that long if you're that closed-minded. But it just strikes me as odd as people would just shut things down and be like, nope, this is the only way it's possible. Nothing's ever going to change. Is there any, like, experiences you have where you've been able to overcome that mindset to encourage people to open their minds at all?
I certainly try. The most recent one, I was in a conversation with my biggest competitor, and I had mentioned to him that I was focusing my attention on AI. And it blew my mind when he said, well, AI already exists. And I said, well, I'm looking to develop it with the companies that are developing it for specifically estimating. And he said, but that's going to replace us. And it was so short-sighted. I mean, first and foremost, it's going to happen whether we participate in it or not. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, in any business, you need to be able to adapt and adopt as things change. And if you don't, that's how your business ends up dying. So if it does become a situation where people all of a sudden love technology, which I don't think that'll ever happen, well, in my lifetime anyway, in the flooring industry, because the flooring industry as a general rule is not huge on technology. That's why my business exists. Mm-hmm. Then I'll know that I have to pivot and find another way to serve my clients. But ultimately, it's going to happen, so you need to embrace it and help move it forward rather than stick your head in the sand. And as much as I tried to convince him of that, I don't think that I was successful. Mm-hmm. So,
and I don't know that you can reach everybody, but why not try and be on the cutting edge? Why not try and stay a step ahead? And even if it's not the direction the industry ends up going, or at least fully, you're probably better for learning it and having an understanding of it, and your business is positioned better to move forward in the future because of that. Whether we're talking about the estimating side and incorporating AI into being able to help you pull the numbers, talk to clients as they inquire on the website, I don't know what that's going to look like. You can do a ton of stuff with that technology right now, and it's only going to continue to get better. I mean, look, we can go back and look at computers from 1970, and literally it's called a bug because like a moth could fly inside of it if it got, you know, inside the parts and screw everything up. Like the bug caused the system not to work. So we've come a long way from computers being the size of multiple rooms to being, you know, able to fit in a carry-on bag and sit on your lap with a laptop, or even the phones these days, like they're super small. You don't think this is going to become important technology in the future? It's funny to me when people still fight about, like, I don't need a website. It's 2023 now. Websites have been around since the mid-90s, if not a little bit before that, just not as prevalent. You don't need a website? And then I constantly see the question, hey, the BBB's calling me. Should I get involved with them? And I'm like, when's the last time you heard about the BBB, right? Like, if it was 1985 still, like, my grandma was all about looking for, like, the BBB sticker on doors for businesses and stuff. But these days, the new BBB is Google reviews. Like, if you don't have a bunch of Google reviews and you don't have a business, like, a Google business listing, then you're nothing. Like, I wouldn't pay the BBB personally. But things change, right? We have to evolve and move forward. So having this website or getting involved with AI or looking at where technology is going and how you can move your business forward, getting to learn new thin sets and methods, right? You can, on the tile side of things, we can look at the mud guys versus the foam guys. And why not know both? What's wrong with having another tool in the toolbox? And I think that's what this is doing for you is, how many tools have you gained in your toolbox by looking at yourself and saying, I need to work on how I process information and look at my day and where I'm at in life and how I'm going to reach the goal and live for my why? That you've done is really added a bunch of tools to make sure that you're constantly successful and moving in a direction that you want to move in.
Ultimately, people are going to be confused, stressed out with stuff that they don't know. And you're not going to learn it if you don't try it. A couple of months ago, I put a post out into a women's flooring group about ChatGPT. And I got responses from, oh my God, I love it, to I've heard about it, or I don't want it ruining my business. And I challenged them all to try it. And they were amazed. It's using it for the purpose that serves you. Mm-hmm. You know, one woman said she woke up early Sunday morning, couldn't sleep, so she decided to put a business plan together, and she did it on ChatGPT. In a matter of seconds, she had a plan that she ended up using 90% of it. Now, it's an assistance. You know, it's something that you're still going to want to tweak. Mm-hmm. And make it your own. But for people who have a hard time writing the email or writing a speech or writing a contract or writing a letter to a client or to a vendor, it will help you with that so you don't struggle with it and you don't waste that time that you could be out selling or installing, mm-hmm. working on the business, not in your business.
Yes. No, it's a great tool. There's all kinds of them. And I think that's, what are you doing to invest in you to be able to find these tools? How are you spending your time? What are you doing to make sure that you can be as successful as possible? And I think that's why I want to have the conversation with you, is that you've taken the time out to go work on you, which is working on your business instead of just in your business, right? You're not slaving away, still doing estimations. You're not just spending time hiring people to do more estimations. You're going and you're finding ways to make you better so that you can manage the company better, so you can lead the company better. And then that's trickling down. Well, I didn't want to talk about it that way. I'm trying to look at having organizations with a reversed organization chart. So you're holding everybody up. And that takes a lot more communication to be able to keep a pyramid balanced on its tip as opposed to the really strong base. But all of these skills you're learning are helping you to be able to do that because you're better able to communicate with your managers and show them where you want to go, how you want to go, what needs to happen. And so the information flow through the company has to be a lot stronger. So do you think without the training you've been doing the past 3 years, you would be able to do much of what you've done over the past 3 years?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know, and quite honestly, we go back to that fire training. We've had our challenges through the especially through the last 18 months. Mm-hmm. And that's what's kept us focused, is not letting the challenges distract us from serving the clients and doing the best job for the clients. Letting, you know, the minutia get resolved with resources, letting resources handle it while we stay focused on the business. There's a quote, Warren Buffett has been known to say when asked what is the greatest investment you've ever made, he said his greatest investment is in himself. Mm-hmm. It's an investment that can never be taken away. And if you continue to invest in yourself, you keep compounding that knowledge and keep getting stronger.
Couldn't agree more. It's great advice. All right, Kathy, is there anything we didn't hit on that you want to talk about within this mindset coaching and conferencing and really investing in yourself kind of realm?
I really just want to send home the comment of making sure you're surrounding yourself with like-minded people. They're the ones that are going to help drive you when you fall short, or you're helping drive them. And quite honestly, what you don't realize is when you're helping them, you're helping yourself. You're reminding yourself of those lessons and strengthening your mental muscle as well.
I agree. That if you're going to go hang around people that are constantly complaining, it's not going to put you in a good place. Go find people that are moving in the direction you want to do. And you want to know what? I think a lot of times people are scared to ask for a mentor, or they don't think they're going to be able to fit in with people because they're like a step above them or whatever. If you want to become a millionaire, multimillionaire, whatever it is, go find people that are millionaires and multimillionaires and start hanging out with them. They probably aren't going to care. Hop in, learn, ask questions. They're just going to kind of let you be there. I know, because I did it. So, and I haven't made it yet, but it's changed how I look at things and how I interact with the world and what I'm doing, right? Or I could have stayed with all the people that were working dead-end jobs and going nowhere and complaining about their station in life. And I wasn't having that anymore. That's not who I wanted to be. So it works. Go find the people to hang around with that you want to be with, right? That are doing what you want to do. And you'll get pulled into that lifestyle with them, and you will quickly make the adaptations, or they're going to cut you loose real quick because they're not going to let you bring them down at all. That's not how that's going to work.
Chances are they've already made their mistakes, that you can learn from their mistakes.
Yes, you can definitely speed up your process by it. This is the difference between, you know, look, you can gain all the knowledge you want, right? Get all the information you want, but wisdom is knowledge applied. So hopefully you gain a bunch of wisdom very quickly by applying the knowledge you're learning instead of learning it and then going and making the same mistakes. That's not going to do much knowledge, for you.
Yeah, knowledge without execution is the biggest failure.
Yes. All right. Where can people find you? How do we find Kathy online, interact with you, reach out to you, look to have Quantify solve our commercial estimating needs?
My email address is kcase@quantifyna.com. Yes, I will put out my phone number because I do make myself available. It's 203-627-0067. And I'm certainly on Facebook and in all of the flooring groups.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. I very much appreciate it. That's going to do it for us, folks. I hope you got something out of it. I know I did. Make sure you check out FloorAcademyPod.com. Head on over to the files section. whether you get the business budgeting worksheet and you figure out what your day rate needs to be so that you can know how to charge and break down stuff if you want to have square foot or piece rate pricings. There's the material tracker over there so that you can put in all of your tools, what they're worth, pictures of them and serial numbers. So if something ever happens to your stuff, you got a document and you don't have to worry about it. Yes, setting it up at first takes a large time investment, but then as you buy a tool and you take a picture of it, as soon as you open it, it becomes much easier. I've actually used it because I had a bunch of stuff get damaged, and I just sent it over to the insurance company and said, here you go. And they were like, oh shit, like he's prepared. And then I got a check and it was really easy. Like they didn't fight with me or nothing. They're just like, okay, if you're missing all that stuff, here you go. So it made my life super easy. There's a couple files over there. Check that stuff out. Go to the store, pick up a shirt. You know, we got show season coming up, so you know you got to get that Floor Academy fanny pack, and then you can put some water and swag in it as you walk around the trade shows. And if you want to help support the show, you can head over to patreon.com/Floor Academy. Even $5 a month goes a long way in helping to support the show and me to be able to continue making this content to help you move your business forward. As mentioned, you can also check out our mastermind groups so that you can actively stay involved and committed to making sure you are working on your goals and getting resources from other business owners to help you speed up you taking your business to another level. That being said, we got a quick word from Tice. Listeners, it's nearing show season again, and I want to remind you that the International Services Event is returning to Las Vegas January 24th through the 26th. Mark your calendars now. Floor Academy podcast listeners will have the opportunity to register for free once registration opens in September using the promo code Kyle. That's right. It's just my name. You can't forget it. Four letters, K-Y-L-E. You get that exhibition pass for free, which frees you up to go ahead and pay money for an educational event while you're there. Whether you're an installer, retailer, distributor, or serve in another capacity within our industry, attending TICE is a solid resource to expand your knowledge and networking base. You can also learn about the newest and industry-leading products coming to market. Stay up to date with the International Surfaces Event page on Facebook or visit intlsurfaceevent.com. All right, folks, we will catch you next week.